Lung cancer is one of the most aggressive killers in the United States. Hi, I'm Chris Edwards, and welcome to Here's to Your Health. I'm joined once again by Denny Lindeman, Vice President of Kraft Body Scan. And Denny, the month of November, National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. How prevalent is lung cancer?
Lung cancer is the number one killer of cancers globally for men and women. So this is a big one when it comes to raising awareness.
You know, on the CDC website, they list the U.S. Preventative Service Task Force recommending yearly screening for people that have a 20-pack a year of more smoking history and smoke now or have quit within the last 15 years and are between the ages of 15 and 80 years old. Let's talk about just smoking and how the smoking habits of people might impact lung cancer in their lives.
All right, so let's kind of break that down a little bit, because that can be confusing to some people because there's a lot of variables that we're talking about there. But that kind of brings us back to raising awareness in general. You know, why does insurance not pay for this unless you've smoked cigarettes for 20 plus years? I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that maybe smoked for 10 or 15 years. Maybe they smoke two packs a day, but they don't qualify for these scans. And, you know, the fact of the matter is about 250,000 people in the United States alone will be diagnosed with lung cancer. And a good portion of those people never smoke. So really what it comes down to is early detection. How do we find that tumor before those people have symptoms? That's the big question.
How do you go about finding some of those symptoms before people get into stage 2, stage 3 lung cancer?
Well, you know, the whole goal with early detection is to find it in stage 1 or earlier. But when it comes to signs of disease, for most people, they don't know they have a lung cancer or a problem until it progresses to, say, stage 3 or stage 4, where they start to experience symptoms. And so when we think about healthcare in general, healthcare is great. I mean, if you get your physical every year, get your blood work, but they don't take photographs of the inside of your body. And so when it comes to lung cancer, especially if you've been a smoker, the whole idea is to get a CT scan or an MRI of the chest, but typically because the lungs move, an MRI is not the best modality. So when it comes to speed, detail of images, the CT machine is usually the way to go.
Talk to me about people who might be experienced or exposed to secondhand smoke. Maybe their parents or their grandparents smoked and they were around them. Should they go get a scan, a Kraft body scan as well?
Well, absolutely. You know, when we think of what's the downside to getting a scan, other than the time, you know, it takes about an hour and a half to come to the clinic to get a scan, or possibly the cost if it was too expensive. But gosh, most of the people that are listening to this, if you're over the age of 40, you kind of grew up around somebody in your family that smoked. I mean, gosh, I remember, you know, going on vacation as a kid and people were smoking on airplanes, you know, and it seems like it was a million years ago, but just about everybody's been exposed to secondhand smoke. But aren't there other things that can cause, you know, lung cancer besides cigarettes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so we think people ask all the time, like, what are the other factors? You know, well, asbestos. You know, a lot of these homes that were built pre-1970s, you know, they were built with asbestos. A lot of people didn't know.
Sure.
Military. You know, I was in the Navy. If you think of all those ships, you know, in their early days and up until, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you know, they used asbestos as a flame retardant over a lot of the, you know, pipes and things and fittings inside the ship. So, you know, if you work in construction, if you work in emergency response, if you work in old buildings, if you work around chemicals, or if you've, you know, maybe come used Roundup. Roundup's another big one that's coming out now. There's a lot of talk about how deadly Roundup is and how that can cause lung cancer.
There are risks, I assume, for getting a lung cancer scan, right?
Well, I mean, really, I don't see the downside. Sure. There's no risk in getting a scan. Some people are afraid of the radiation from a machine. However, when we think about technology, technology's advanced to the point where these machines put out the lowest amount of radiation to take the most detailed images. But when we think of the fact that one in about 20 Americans will be diagnosed with lung cancer in their lifetime, really what it comes down to is that preventive CT scan going to harm me? No. The machine puts out very, very little, but it takes detailed images. And what we specialize in is something called LDCT, low-dose CT. So we take great pictures, and if we can find that tumor when it's small and contained, the outcome is going to be so much better.
Are men more at risk for lung cancer, Denny?
There's a slight higher risk for men. But, you know, a lot of those numbers might be somewhat skewed because I think I just recently read that it was around 75% of the people who have lung cancer were smokers. And the larger amount of those were men.
What about pulmonary nodules? Can you talk a little bit about those, too?
Sure. You know, that's a fairly common finding. You know, this really exemplifies why we talk to our patients when they come in. You know, one thing I love about this program and trying to raise awareness, mm-hmm. and especially when we lower our price in November to make this technology available to just about anyone, the whole idea of coming in and getting that preventive scan is it's only $149. And so, and that's for two people. And so when we think of, you know, people that have smoked, well, this is a no-brainer. You know, this is where you're just going to have to like make time and come down and do it because, you know, you got to make time for your health. But, you know, the other 25% of people that might be at risk for various reasons other than lung cancer, really, I mean, what's the downside of it's $149 for two people?
Walk me through if someone's out there listening and they'd like to come get a scan. Maybe they're worried about whatever it could be, right? They're worried about coming in the radiation. They're worried about the time commitment. Walk me through what they're going to go through once they get to Craft Body Scan.
Okay. This is a very common question. And keep in mind that if I don't answer a question here on the show today, we do have an 800 number that somebody can call. And any question that they have, we have people that can answer that. But it's really pretty simple. It's just like getting your physical. You know, the feeling is very similar. You come to a medical office, and our office is very, very nice. It's new construction, new equipment, new machines. And, you know, it takes about 10 or 15 mm-hmm. minutes to fill out, you know, typical medical paperwork if you're a first-time patient with us. And then you're going to sit down with one of our people to go over how to read the scans because, you know, when it comes to a pulmonary nodule and whether or not that's a major finding, sometimes people overreact. You know, and a pulmonary nodule is a very common finding. Typically, those are benign in appearance and usually have a very low likelihood of becoming cancer. But if you want to know why insurance doesn't pay for these scans, that's one of the reasons. Why do you think that is?
I have no idea.
This is interesting, right? So if you're an insurance company, your job is to try to take care of people and try to keep them healthy. And, you know, as a payer in for insurance, you kind of expect that. But when it comes to finding a small pulmonary nodule that's maybe, you know, sometimes the report will say 10 millimeter sure. by 10 millimeter and, you know, it says benign in appearance. And it'll say that's less than a 2% chance of being a malignancy. So it's a very, very low probability. But to the patient, they go, gosh, that's a 2% chance. Mm-hmm. I'm going to need another scan. And so what ends up happening is people have a little bit of anxiety. Hey, I have this small finding. And insurance doesn't want to pay for two or three scans when 98% of the time it's not cancer. And so that's one of the reasons why Craft Body Scan offers this. And if somebody needs a follow-up, we have great prices so that somebody can take advantage of that and come and look at it. And it's probably benign, but just in case it isn't, they can get those successive images and find out.
And as you said before, really don't wait. I mean, go in, find it early, because it is all about finding this early to prevent something larger or something worse from happening down the road.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to your health in general, your body is great. And you could be the healthiest person out there. You could eat right, sleep good, you know, low stress. But when it comes to signs of disease, you don't want to wait until you have symptoms to try to react, because the bigger a problem gets, the more difficult it becomes to fix. And so when it comes to tumors or lesions or masses or specific things in the body, a lot of times they're small. But when you think of what we do, people are paying money to use our equipment to find these things early so they can take that report to their doctor and get those things taken care of before they become out of control.
You know, we've done this show a lot together, and I know that you've got firsthand examples of people who have come in that thought they were perfectly healthy, never thought anything at all was wrong with them, but they went and had a Craft Body Scan and they found something early. Can you give us some specific examples of what you've seen recently?
You know, there was this wonderful woman that came to the office several months ago, and her name was Cheryl. You know what? One of the greatest things about working for Craft Body Scan is you never know which person. We see thousands of patients a month, but you never know which people are going to come in that really needed this. And, you know, when people don't want to do a scan, sometimes it's not about the money or time. It's the fear of finding something. And that's a real fear. Some people are like, I don't want to know. But when somebody says, I don't want to know, in my mind, what that says is, I don't want to be in pain. I don't want to suffer. Well, you know, it's not really painful or suffer if we can find something early and fix it. So in this case, Cheryl came in for a heart and lung scan, and we ended up finding a category one lung cancer in her scan. But what's really neat about this story is that when she went and proposed it, to show that to her doctor, the doctor proposed that she should do surgery to remove it. And so they did a very small surgery to remove just the affected area of the lungs. She didn't need to do chemo.
Wow.
She did not need to do chemo or radiation therapy. And, you know, those chemicals can harm the body and they can save lives, but they can also harm the body. And because they found it early enough, they were able to just remove it when it was small and contained. To me, that is the greatest possible outcome for somebody that has lung cancer and doesn't know it.
Tell me about the fear of finding. I thought that was an interesting phrase you used. People are fearful of finding out. But I imagine it goes from, oh, man, I don't want to know, to, wow, I sure am glad that now I know this and I caught it early.
Hey, you know, ignorance is bliss. We've heard that before. But it's something that I've heard before. I've had people, you know, we do, you know, sometimes we'll do, you know, shows or things like that where we'll set up a booth and people will come up and ask questions. And it's interesting to me when people say, I don't want to know. And that bothers me because, you know, it's like, well, if that was my wife and I'd be like, well, I want you to know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or if that was my mom and dad, I'd be like, well, I want you to know. And so, you know, when it comes to cancer, when somebody's sick, that's a battle that the whole family fights together. And so to me, you owe it to yourself, you owe it to your family to just take that time and you know, why it's that very, very low cost. $150 for two people. This is really the time to come and get that scan.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back and have more Thinny on Here's to Your Health, presented by Kraft Body Scan, right here on WPTF. Welcome back to Here's to Your Health here on WPTF, presented by Kraft Body Scan. We're back with Kraft Body Scan Vice President Denny Lindemann. And Denny, we're coming off Breast Cancer Awareness Month in October, and we've seen drops in breast cancer among women due to early detection. Are we seeing similar things in lung cancer now because of the earlier detection?
I love this question because there's a lot of confusion over there. Cancer's not as scary as it used to be. When it comes to early detection and treatments, there are actually four cancers that are on the decline. And now, Chris, I know you probably won't get all these right, but I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Which four cancers? So think of this, right? There's four.
Okay.
There's cancer everywhere,
sure.
Right? I mean, there's a lot of different types of cancer. But what four types of cancer are on the decline?
Breast cancer.
That's one.
Lung cancer?
That's two.
Prostate cancer?
That's three.
Oh, man. Colon cancer?
Whoa, you got all four. I tell you what, that is great. I don't think anybody's ever got all four, right? But why do you think those four are on the decline?
I'm guessing probably some early detection.
Yeah. What does your insurance advocate and pay for when it comes to health plans to find cancer early? Well, when you think about it, you get your colonoscopy every 10 years, so that's mm-hmm. that one. The PSA score and correlation with your doctor for men, you know, that's that resulted in 57% reduction in prostate deaths. Lung cancer has gone down for two reasons. One, early detection, but also people aren't smoking as much as
sure.
they used to. So that's kind of a, you know, we throw that one out. But breast cancer, this is one of the biggest ones. So breast cancer used to be one of the largest and most deadly cancers for women. I can't remember the exact number, but I want to say it's down 10 or 11 or 12, somewhere around there. But when you think of a mammogram and how important that is, if I was to ask you, what color is the awareness ribbon that you would wear to raise awareness for breast cancer?
Pink.
Pink. Now, how many people do you think get that right?
Most people.
Why?
It's prevalent. People know. There's a lot of causes out there to support breast cancer awareness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see it on NFL players' football mm-hmm. shoes. You see it baseball players with pink gloves. There seems to be a lot of awareness. Now, lung cancer is the most deadly. What cancer color is that one?
It's not blue because blue is prostate cancer.
Light blue is
yeah.
prostate cancer.
Is it a dark blue for lung cancer?
Dark blue is colon cancer, but it's actually white. But it's interesting to me how 90% of the people I ask, you know, what color is breast cancer, they say pink right yeah. away. But if I ask them to name the color awareness ribbon for any other cancer, they can't really name one. And so when I think about the publicity, why is there so much publicity just for breast cancer? Well, because insurance pays for it, but it works. So for women that are listening to this, how many women, right? So if you're in the car listening to this right now, be honest with yourself. If you're over 40, when's the last time you had a mammogram? Now, half of the women would be like, well, I do mine every year. And then there's other women who are like, well, I don't really want to go and do that. It hurts. You know, it's not a fun procedure. Mm-hmm. I've heard that they have to squish the breast flat to be able to kind of really see well. But if you're a woman and you had breast cancer, wouldn't you like to find it when it's a small, little, tiny lump rather than it having to spread through the body? Well, absolutely. And so that's what we're talking about when it comes to lung cancer is why is it that you have to smoke for 20 years to be able to get a lung screening? Hmm. It should be just automatic.
How do we continue to get the word out about lung cancer and how deadly it can be, even though it's on the decline, still is an aggressive form of cancer?
Well, I mean, that's kind of what this is all about. When we think of our company, you know, Kraft Body Scan's mission is to provide access to equipment and doctors and providers to use that equipment to find these things early. But typically, the number one objection is cost. You know, we think about how much these machines cost. You know, it costs millions of dollars to own one of these machines and thousands of dollars to operate uh-huh. it. You need a medical clinic. You need staff. You need radiographers and CT techs. And you need doctors and radiologists. And so when you think of our mission, how do we take all of that and try to make it where it's affordable so that if insurance is not willing to pay for something, somebody can pull a credit card out of their pocket and say, well, I don't care if insurance is not going to pay for this. I'm going to pay for this for me and my wife, and I want to go get this done because if I'm one of those people that has this, I want to find out now, not wait until I have symptoms.
Well, let's talk about the scan as a whole, though, because even if you aren't at risk maybe for lung cancer, a scan can provide a baseline for a whole bunch of other areas of the body. How important is that?
You know, We scan thousands of patients every month, and I would say heart findings are typically the number one finding, you know, an artery that's blocked or maybe an enlarged heart or maybe extra fluid in the pericardial, which is a sac of fluid on the heart. But, you know, when I think of a CT scan, at our facility, somebody can pay for one of three regions. We can do an upper chest with a focus on the heart and lungs, which is very important because we're going to look for blockages. You know, if I've had probably over the course of the last 3 years, on average, 40 or 50 people a month who have a 90% blockage or more with no symptoms that came in and got a scan and they ended up getting a stent or something afterwards, but it saved their life. Mm. You know, and so when I think of, you know, the chest scan, it's a very important one. We also have the abdomen. This is probably one of the most requested scans because it includes the liver, the pancreas, the kidneys, the spleen, and a lot of those things. And then, of course, we have our pelvic scan, which is a focus on the reproductive organs and the colon. And then we also have the virtual colonoscopy, which we're getting a lot of people calling and asking, you know, how is this better? Or does it do the same thing? Is it the same prep? But does not require any anesthesia, which is great. And it's a little easier to prep for, but there's no probe in the body. So there's no risk of perforation or, you know, having an adverse reaction to the actual procedure.
Since you brought that up, is the prep a little bit easier for this virtual colonoscopy than having to drink all that stuff that we're having to do now for our regular ones?
Well, when we think of, you know, the old prep versus the new prep, you still have to clean out.
Sure.
But it's relatively easier. We have some literature that we would email to our patients, say, hey, this is how you're going to prepare. And it's choosing to eat certain foods and not other foods that take time to digest. And then typically about a day and a half out, you're going to go to a liquid diet. And then, of course, you know, the night before, you're not drinking any fluids to prepare. But it's always in the morning. So I always joke with people, hey, you're going to come in, get it done at 8 o'clock. And then there's a great three or four great breakfast restaurants right down the street. Somebody can go down to First Watch and get something to eat.
We talk about a lot of different kinds of scans. You mentioned the upper body, the chest scan, the abdomen scan. There's the full body scan, too. And that can really give you a comprehensive look of your entire body head to toe.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. The full body scan is our number one most requested scan, but it's also the most comprehensive, but it's also the most expensive. And so a lot of times when I try to address questions out there, somebody can start with whatever scan they want. But yes, the most comprehensive scan is going to be the full body, which in essence is the chest, the abdomen, and the pelvis all done at the same time.
Do you recommend this being something that couples go and do together? I mean, I've heard stories already since we've been doing the show of women that have got their husbands to go and do a scan and found out they've had an issue.
You know, we've been doing this for many, many years. We're celebrating, you know, our 7th year at Kraft Body Scan. But when it comes to cost, and then, of course, if somebody wants to pay extra money to scan something, we've found that it's easier to talk to a husband and wife at the same time because they have various questions. But a lot of those questions revolve around money. You know, if I wanted to pay for an abdomen pelvis, how much does that cost? You know, how many images is it? Does it come with the report? And so we're able to talk to both people at the same time, take them back and scan them one after another. So literally, you know, they're in there in the changing room by themselves. It's about 5 minutes apart they scan. And then one of our providers can reach out and talk to them both at the same time. This saves us time and money. But, you know, really to me, usually it requires one person dragging the other person in. I see this every morning. You know, I'll see a wife come in. She's all smiling. They're holding hands. And then I'll see the husband sitting there kind of grumpy. Oh, I don't want to go to the doctor. Well, she loves you. She signed you up for the heart and lung scan because she wants to make sure you don't have a blockage because she wants to keep you around for a while. But to me, it's like a date. You hold hands, you come down, you get your heart scanned together and just make sure you're okay.
Let's talk about the actual procedure now. What should people know?
Well, it's very simple. You do not have to prep for it. You can eat or drink whatever you want. There are no needles, no drinks or anything like that. In fact, you don't even have to get undressed. All we're going to do is place four little electrodes across your chest to monitor your heart during the scan. You're going to lay on the machine for about 5 minutes. Now, keep in mind, this is not a claustrophobic tube. There's no, you know, there's no uncomfortability within the machine. It's a big donut. You lay on it for less than 5 minutes. It's very quiet. It's very fast. It takes great pictures. And then about a week after the scan, you're going to get an email, and it's going to be a written interpretation on what the radiologist saw on those images.
Is this something that people can share the results in terms of with their doctor?
Oh, absolutely. You know, for the most part, doctors embrace this. You know, when it comes to preventive scanning, some doctors are still like, well, you know, kind of go through our network or do this. But 99% of the time when somebody gets their report and they present it to their doctor is going to look at that report and say, okay, if you have a pulmonary nodule or if you have a blockage, what they're going to do is they're going to refer you to a pulmonologist or the cardiologist or whoever's necessary to be able to kind of get the care you need after we find something.
All really all about early detection, isn't it?
It is, right? And so if you have a heart blockage, if you have a lung tumor, if you have anything wrong in the body, the machine's going to take pictures. Dr. Young is our board certified radiologist here in Raleigh. He's going to look at those images. He's going to write the report. And then if necessary, one of our providers will speak to our patients on the phone and say, this is what you need to take to your doctor, or this is where you need to go take your report.
How do our listeners who have been listening to our show, how can they go about getting a scan?
All right. So it's really simple. You can go on the website, craftbodyscan.com. There is a phone number on the website, or you can look us up on Google. It's very easy to type in Craft Body Scan. And when you call us, what we're going to do is we're going to ask you a few questions about your health, try to find a time that works for you to come down and get scanned. And then you expect to be in the office for about an hour and a half. And hopefully you're wasting your money and we don't find anything.
It would be great. Danny, always appreciate the time. Great to see you.
Thank you, Chris.
You can give them a call at 919-794-8888 or go to craftbodyscan.com to schedule your scan. Thanks for joining us for this month's Here's to Your Health on WPTF. I'm Chris Evans.